gives you a little, like I say, idea more of what goes on than just simply a citation.
Where did they get that phone booth?
Pardon me?
Where did they get the phone booth?
I don't know. I have no idea. I know there's tons of film footage from Vietnam, and there's very little of it, though, from the actual recipient's actions. There's a few that I know of that they actually captured some of it on film, some of it more on still images. I know they actually got a picture of Joe Jackson, who had landed on a bombed-out airstrip and was pulling the guys on his plane. They actually took a picture of that when it was happening. And it's one of the few images of an actual event like that. But these are so well done, though. I'm so thrilled to have come across these, and I wish they had captured even more. But like I said, there's over 100 of them that they've got like that. So I know it's not Memorial Day or Veterans Day or anything along those lines. It's just that I like those. I guess seek your indulgence on that tonight.
So.
Gary Beichrick, B-E-I-C-H-I-R-K. Beichrick is the way it's pronounced. I think that's right. But anyway, all right. Well, and now please, would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, and this will be the last lessons that we have in verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Oops. Before we get underway tonight, I did have an announcement on, I guess, an update on Vicki Aldridge's mother. And she's been... I won't read all of this, but she's been transferred from Rex Hospital to Hillside Rehabilitation in Wake Forest, which she actually noted in her email that she saw that Andrew was the designer of the website. But so far, she said that she's very pleased with the care that her mother's giving there, and I won't put it in her exact words, but she didn't exactly care for the care that she was getting at Rex and likes this much better. And it's very difficult for her, and I think that this is something we need to always have in our prayers for Vicki and John and their family as they go through this. Watching your parent degenerate and disintegrate, I guess is the better way to say it, is a very difficult thing. And it was extremely difficult for me on both my father and my mother, but those are the realities of a body that is claimed by sin and has sin in it, and it's not a pretty thing. And that's something that we certainly can hold Vicki up in prayer about, in seeing the opportunities that she has to be a testimony and a witness, not only to her mother, but to those who are caring for her in that time. I can tell you from experience that it is a wonderful opportunity to be able to set forth by your actions and what you say and the way you conduct yourself an awful lot of Christ-likeness that is picked up on by staff and by those who are in those situations. And so we certainly care about her and about the situation that she's going through. And she talks in her email about some of the difficulties her mother's having in rehabilitation right now. Of course, she's suffering from Alzheimer's, and that complicates things quite a bit. So I just wanted to once again bring that to your attention, that she's now being cared for there in Wake Forest at Hillside, and they certainly are going to be spending a great deal of time there, I'm sure, as she goes through rehabilitation for having fallen and having to... you get to that age, any amount of time that you spend in a bed you're going to spend a great deal of time in rehabilitation, getting those joints moving again and getting up and getting going. That was one of the things, I don't know, I guess going through it with my mom and dad, that I determined when I went in the hospital and had 9 inches of my colon removed, I wanted to get out of bed as soon as I got, you know, aware enough. I have some blurred memory of being wheeled into my room and some of you gals were there, and I wondered, why in the world were you there? And I wasn't even quite awake, I don't think, at that point. But, man, I wanted to get out of that bed. I wanted to move. I think I walked far more than the nurses wanted me to, because every chance I'd get, I'd get out of my room and I'd just go walking up and down the floor. I just wanted to move. You gotta get the body going. So, but we certainly appreciate the update and continue to pray for her. All right. Are there any other announcements or anything we need to know about tonight? All right. Well, following our customary procedure, the next few moments will be dedicated to silent prayer. You have a few moments of privacy and freedom in preparation for the study of the Word of God this evening to lay aside the cares, concerns, the problems, the difficulties of your day, of your job, and now begin concentrating on the objective at hand. So therefore, in preparation this evening, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do appreciate every time we assemble together now the living union dynamic that takes place as a local assembly, as being members one of another and members of one body in Christ. And we thank you for that body thinking now that we have, courtesy of the effectual working of your word in our inner man. And we certainly pray that we continue to add to that as we go along in our sonship edification. We thank you for your word and for the complete and inerrant infallibility of it, the infallibleness of it, and that we have a perfect Bible that we can hold in our hand and know that its words can do the effectual job they're designed to do. We thank you for this building and for the opportunity to be able to assemble together here tonight, and are grateful more than anything for Jesus Christ and for the redemption that he purchased for all of us at Calvary, that made this life as a son to be conformed into his image possible. We again pray for your wisdom as we deal with the matters of your word tonight. Pray for its honest handling, and that we gain the full effectual working of it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's once again revisit our text that we are dealing with here in Romans chapter 12. As we are receiving the third of six components to the instruction of our wisdom from our Father. And here it says once again, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And we've talked in the last several Bible classes so much about how this works, how this operates, and I didn't really want to go over an extensive review tonight, but just once again, you need to remind yourself of the fact that this is taking the godly love that we have learned, and not only learned, but that's been instilled properly in us from verses 3 through 8, and having the selfless love, and then the kindness added to that in verses 9 and 10. And now, for the first time, taking it out of the practicing that we're doing and the actual work that we're doing and labor that we're doing with one another. And that labor is to be an ongoing, ever-present issue in our local assembly. And the way you deal with one another should be in kindness, loving kindness. And the thinking you have toward one another should be that body-type thinking. And as I said on Sunday, it's very critical that that's there, because if it's not, we're going to have problems. In fact, those problems will begin to manifest themselves real quick. And this is where the carnal Corinthians had some problems as well. So it's very important and very critical that that information doesn't just be put on the shelf or anything along those lines, but if it really has been truly written on the fleshy tables of your heart, you become that living, walking letter or living epistle of Christ, and those are things that are in a position in your in the makeup of who you are as a son of your Father, who you are in Christ, as much as anything else about you is who you are. And it's always there, it's always something that marks you as a son who is no longer being conformed to this world, but is being transformed by the renewing of his mind. And that then is to be taken for the first time out of the local assembly, that godly, selfless, loving kindness, and now it's going to find itself placed in the place where you are going to spend probably the bulk of your time of your day, and that's in your job, in your business world. And therefore, there's something that is so natural about Paul and our Father having Paul address this issue at the point that he does, in its order and in its sense and sequence, of then not being slothful in business. In fact, you'll find verse 10 doesn't even end in a period. It's attached in thought to verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And those three clauses provide the three aspects of the godliness, the thinking, the living, and the labor. And just to use this as a way of reviewing things, the godly thinking of what business is to God, what that whole concept of not being slothful is to Him, produces an attitude. And of course, that attitude is an attitude of diligence. And that's coming to understand and appreciate that business is first and foremost something God Himself created. He's the inventor of it. He's busy Himself. He's never slothful. And therefore, when we went back and looked at Genesis chapter 2 and saw what Adam's attitude was toward the business God put him in, we saw that diligence on display, and saw it on display in three distinctive attributes that are characteristics of what diligence is as an attitude, especially when you're in a context of business. That son now is going to look at his job and look at his work and approach that work now with diligence. You're going to be gravely minded, that gravity of mind about the seriousness of the task of the business. You're going to have, because of that, ambition to get going and not just finish and see through the one task, but to see that to its end with view to the next task getting underway. And once ambition is satisfied, and it has, as we talked about on Sunday, it has all that it needs to be able to carry on with the work, it is a pleasure to be able to do that job. And when you, if you're an employer and you're looking at an employee, or if you're an employee and your employer is looking at you, if you can describe that worker as a diligent worker, those are three characteristics that you have in mind, that they take it as seriously as you do. They are ambitious, and of course, this is godly ambition. This isn't ambition because of the reasons of the world. And then it's, of course, a pleasure to be in business with you or to do business for you. And therefore, all of those words, as I've often stressed and I keep stressing, are words that the world uses. The world's worldly reasons are there, but these are for an entirely different reason based upon the thinking of your Father. And that's what we then really move to when it comes to putting that into its final aspect of the godliness, and that is the serving the Lord in those things. And so that's really kind of taking you briefly through that. Once the godly thinking of what not slothful in business is, what diligence is, that's the attitude that has been produced by the valuing of that business, the valuing of business itself, the way your Father values it. Those values have been instilled in you. That produces the attitude your Father's after, so that you can be then fervent in spirit. You're going to be hot-minded. You're going to expend the appropriate energy that needs to be expended for the task at hand. And you're going to be fervent in spirit, in which your human spirit now, and what you're going to do is take that information that now operates within you, and that attitude is going to govern the way in which you approach your job. And therefore, that approach to your job is going to be dominated by the values of business, just as your Father values it, just as His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, values it. It's interesting that you can go back and see all of those things in His life as He goes about His business of doing His job. I'm sure they were also all present there, though we don't have any scriptural information on how He functioned as a carpenter, but we certainly understand how He functioned as His Father's Son in His Father's business. And so when things, as I say, get done in spirit, they're done in connection with that attitude that's been produced by the values that have been instilled, And they be, that becomes the dominant, that dominates your thinking. So when you even, when you get up in the morning, you approach going to work. Whatever the work is secondary. Whatever the task is at hand, whether it's liked or disliked, is not the issue. And again, this takes you away from, and radically away from, the way the world thinks about diligence and thinks about business and doing your job. But you see the very, I almost want to use this as a as an expression. I'm not sure it's legitimate to do it, but I'll do it just even though it may not be the best word to use. But it's the way you approach the whole institution of business. Whether it's a lemonade stand or whether you're the top executive of Boeing or whatever. But it's the very institution of it itself that you have this renewing of your mind that takes place where you begin to value it the way your father values it, and therefore that dominates the way you think about it, the way you approach it, the way you get up in the morning to go and do it and go out and perform in that business. And so there's a lot of things that could be said that I would wind up spending my time trying to illustrate just so I could maybe hit and target your area. But this is where you as a son, you as a daughter are going to have to take that information, target it yourself, because all of you are different. All of you have different jobs and different businesses, different work that you're involved in. So this is an area where you're going to have to take this and make that, sit down and think this through with your father and express to him how that operates in your personal life and the details of what you do in your business life. Well, that then means the only remaining thing to talk about tonight really is the godly labor, which has you coming along and it and as it says there, serving the Lord. And that's the third aspect of godliness for our third component of receiving the instruction of wisdom in our sonship education. And it's those final three words in Romans 12, verse 11, serving the Lord. And that is the labor that you're doing. That's as you're doing your job, you now take that information that comes from the godly thinking and godly living, and that naturally means that whatever your job is, X or fill in the blank of whatever it is, since it is a job and since it is in the realm of business, and since your father's the inventor of it, you're participating in something that he himself created, invented, and came up with, and that is totally characteristic of who and what he is. And so therefore, it's only natural then to come along and talk about the labor aspect of the godly edification of the third component to wisdom is serving the Lord. And that's the only wise conclusion you can make to how you go about doing your business. And the godly labor aspect of this third component of wisdom, of all these three that we've been dealing with, this one's really the easiest to grasp and understand. I mean, it almost stands to reason that that's exactly what the labor aspect of this would be. And it is rather easy to understand, so we're not going to have to go into a huge amount of detail or anything like that on it, because I'm sure some of you could come up and explain it just as well, if not better than I could. But unlike the previous two labor aspects, the one that in connection with having to choose, having to determine to operate in one of those offices to the godly selfless love, and you're going to have to make up your mind, you've got to make some choices, some determinations as to which of those offices you're going to determine to participate in. And then the second labor aspect, we went over to the second component. You again have to perceive, you have to determine and make some choices and decisions who and when and where and the appropriateness of you in honor preferring one another. Unlike those two, this aspect of the godly labor really is ready-made, so to speak. There's no real choice, or it's not like having to sit down and determine some things. It just comes automatic, almost ready-made. In other words, you've already got a job. But like I said on Sunday, this isn't just for those who punch a clock, who get up and take their lunch bucket and actually go to work. Every one of you has business to do, whether you're gainfully employed or not. But all of us are in this, even as I said, children. You've got it, you're already engaged in some kind of business or work or occupation, even if you're a housewife, even if you're retired, even if you're a child, still in school. So it's not that you have to go on the hunt for any of this. See, you don't have to go digging around or hunting for something to do as business in order to put the godly thinking, the godly conduct and behavior into practice. Rather, the issue for you is to take what you're currently doing and take the thinking and the godly living right into that job environment, right into that business environment in which you're currently engaged in. That's where it's designed to go. It's designed to work there. There's not a job you've got that it's not going to work there. And all of you can take that, and it's kind of ready-made, ready to go. It's really not supposed to operate in the local assembly. It's supposed to go out of here and go right into where you work in your workaday life. And by the way, that's, as I said before, it can do that regardless of how either you or someone else views the job that you do as menial. I don't know if anybody in this assembly has a job like that, but we've all been in that situation where we think our job is menial. But like I said, this applies to running a Kool-Aid stand. And it also applies regardless of how high-ranking your position is or job is or you may think it is. No matter how menial you may think it is or how high and lofty you may think it is, this is designed to operate there. And the issue, therefore, is by taking that effectual working of the godly diligence along with that wonderful English expression, fervent, with the fervency that governs and dominates the way in which you approach your job. The issue is that with those two aspects of godliness effectually working in your inner man, you're now to immediately, this is to be done now, this is to be done tomorrow morning when you get up and go to work. You immediately apply that to your job. And as you do that, in fact, you should have really, when we came to the end of the second component, you should have done that Monday and Tuesday and today. But you're to immediately utilize and apply that. So, and as you do, you become aware of the fact that when you're doing your job that way, when you're doing it not slothful in business and fervent in spirit, and here's the critical thing, folks, for the reasons that stand behind that in God's Word, when you're aware that your job is being done that way and in that manner and for those reasons, not because of what it may be in the eyes of my boss. He may think that you're doing a crappy job at your job. You ever work for a boss that is impossible to please? I have. And you may do your job spit shine perfect, and they'll find fault with it, because a lot of bosses simply, you can get a sorry boss who thinks it's his job in life to find fault. That if you did something 100% perfectly or even better than he could do it, he'll still or she'll still find something to tear it down about. That's not the point. The point is not that your boss sees this. The point is that your Heavenly Father sees this, and the great master now becomes him, in which he's going to be. You're laboring in your job now with a transforming by the renewing of your mind as to what that is. And folks, this isn't just to make it so that you're a really, really good employee. This is to make it so that you are a qualified son or daughter. Because there's qualifying in this that comes out of being able to do your job and do business the way your father does. And that ought to completely change the way in which you view a job or the way in which you view business. But you now, with all of that intact, with the thinking and the living there, and you're not slothful in business, you're fervent in spirit, you then appreciate and are aware of the fact that you are laboring together with God, and the actual work you do is just exactly as it says here. is done as serving the Lord in it. And again, this is a revolutionary, radical concept. That even though you have a human boss, a sorry one or a great one, you just love your boss. You as a son now recognize and appreciate that ultimately, my boss, your master, to use the biblical expression for it, is none other than the Lord Himself. He's your master. He's your boss. And can be, regardless as, if it's doing schoolwork and your job as a child, as a youngster, as a young adult is in the confines of doing your school job. Or whether it's in actual business that you're doing all the way from Rosie the Riveter up to being a brain surgeon. But the issue isn't whether you've got a sorry or great human boss. The issue is that you are a son operating in an environment created by God in the first place that's designed to be able to be beneficial for you as a son to use some doctrinal information so that you can be qualified in the ups, the downs, the irksomeness parts of it, the great parts of it, the easy parts and the hard parts, all being done in light of not being slothful in that business, being fervent in spirit, having real intelligence of knowing what that means, and therefore in the labor aspect of it, serving the Lord Himself. And unlike those Christians, and man, are we, the world is full of Christians. You throw a rock, you'll hit one, who can only do this, only do their job, based upon sloganeering their way through it. And that's one of the sorriest ways to live a Christian life, is by some preacher's slogan. Or sometimes they'll take a few verses out of the Bible here and there and they'll use those as slogans. Sloganeering is no substitute for real godly edifying. And most Christians, unlike most Christians who can only do this based upon slogans like, you ever heard this? Like, well, I just do it as unto the Lord. I just do it as unto the Lord. I just do it as unto the Lord. Well, that's fine if you know what you're talking about. But I doubt that those are words from somebody who has intelligently been edified as God's son through the sense and through the sequence of the sonship curriculum. And most people will say, most Christians will come along and say, I just do this as unto the Lord, which really only makes it so that they can, they've got, that's a pacifier. So that they can grit their, and when they say, well, I'm just doing it as unto the Lord, oftentimes that comes out through gritted teeth. And they're just gritting their teeth, and it's a slogan that they can try to help salve their heart so that they can get through the day because they feel better by quoting Scripture, or they feel better by saying a mantra or a slogan like that to themselves, or God help people in their earshot that have to undergo hearing that all the time. Or, worse yet, really, based upon their shallow understanding of God's Word, because they don't have any appreciation for what business is to God in the first place. They just see it as getting a paycheck to be able to make ends meet, pay bills. They don't have appreciation for that because they don't have God's perspective or God's viewpoint on what business is about and what it means to God to not be slothful in business, to be diligent, and how that naturally produces an attitude based upon how God values business, whereby they naturally conduct and behave themselves with an infervency of spirit. The majority of Christian folks today, no matter how much Bible they can recite or how many wonderful series of lessons they have heard their preacher preach, the truth of the matter is, the vast majority of Christian folks today still view their job. They view their job, they view their business exactly the way the world does. They see it as something necessary to do to be able to make enough money so that I can make ends meet. I'm not out on the street begging for money or anything. Honestly, the Christian view of business and jobs and the world's view of business and jobs today are one and the same. But a son's not like that. Sons don't think like most Christians think. The difference is that maybe trying to, most Christians will come along and convince themselves that since they've read a verse in the Bible that says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, over there in 1 Corinthians 10, then they assume that not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, means that by not being a slow-moving employee, and by not whining and complaining and griping about my job and getting along with everybody and doing a good job, that's what it means to do their job as serving the Lord. That's not what that means. It means far more than that. They see serving the Lord in their job, or as Paul said later on to the Corinthians, whatever you do all to the glory of God, as a mechanism that just makes my day less miserable. That is not sonship or real biblical Christianity. That's the same kind of pablum and salve that any psychologist or psychiatrist would give you, or a bottle or a pill would give you. That's not the point of any of this. It's just to be a mechanism that makes it so that your work day is less miserable than normal. It misses the mark. It misses the point. That's not what this verse is about. That's not how a son does his job as serving the Lord. A son serves the Lord in his job and business because he's been intelligized to do so. And I don't mean that he's ratcheted, God comes in there and cranks up your IQ. You can be Forrest Gump with his IQ. Not that he had any godliness about him, but that my point in all of that is just to again say that a son is always being intelligized by his father. He intelligently understands and appreciates that he can only, and I mean only, serve the Lord in his job by first of all having established with, listen, if you don't have godly love established in you, selflessness and loving kindness, you can forget doing this because it doesn't work. It takes that to be these things. It's an operation of godly loving kindness. Because the whole issue behind you getting some wisdom on how you're going to go about doing your workaday world has to do with the way your father values it and esteems it in the first place. And folks, that's love. That's being able to see love in a powerful way with far broader ability to it than simply being the recipient of some kindness and having warm fuzzies, which is about all people think love is. It's just a reaction. I feel something. To God, love is one of the most powerful aspects of wisdom that could ever exist, because it instills values. It instills what he esteems and what he doesn't. And so therefore, a son is intelligent. He understands that he can only serve the Lord in his job by first of all having instilled in him what business is to God, and then by having the effectual working of God's diligence operating in his thinking, and then have that attitude govern the way in which he approaches his job in the first place. And by an intelligent and godly understanding of business, a son can then undertake the actual work. Not that you haven't done it or you're going to do it much different than you've done it before. I'm sure, based upon how well I know everybody in this building, all of you are very good employees. If you ever were or ever have been employed, I'm sure you're wonderful. Because I know the fabric of your makeup. I know what makes you up. But the fact of the matter is, this is going to affect now not the labor that you produce, it's going to affect the way in which you go about producing it. But a son can undertake then the actual work with all this in place of the business of the work or the job, and now do it intelligently as serving the Lord, because a son doesn't work at his job or even view his job from the world's, I'll say it this way, even though it's redundant, I like being redundant on this, from the world's worldly perspective. A son doesn't do his job from the world's worldly perspective or from the world's for the world's worldly reasons. There's a good one. A son doesn't do his work, doesn't do his job from the world's worldly perspective, and he doesn't do it for the world's worldly reasons. But he does it with his father's perspective in view and for his father's reasons. And you know those reasons. We've gone over them for the last several Bible classes. And that means that a son, and you as a son, whatever your job is, whatever job you have, you may not like it right now. You may be in a job you don't like at all, like it or not. You may like it, you may not like it. And as I said, none of this, we're not going into Crazyville on this. None of this is saying that you can't quit that job and get a better one. None of this is saying that you can't go up the rung of the ladder in your business or your employment. None of those things are that's not the point of any of this. It's you having a job, and whatever job you have, like it or not like it, it's still viewed, it's still carried out just this way. Because the issue isn't for you to like your job or not like your job. The issue is, as a son, to view all the jobs you do, all the business that you do, you view that business like God does. And I know I say that more times and probably will say that hundreds if not thousands of more times, but that's the issue, that you view it like God does. The diligence, the fervency in spirit isn't produced by how much money you make. You're not fervent because you've got huge tons of education and you can now make 6-7 figures. The fervency, the diligence and fervency isn't produced by, I guess it's a weird way to say this, how much money you don't make. Nor is it produced by how high up on the corporate ladder you can go. Nothing wrong with that, but it's not what produces that. It's not the motivation. The motivation, the attitude, is because of the values your father has placed on it, not the values that Dow Jones placed on it. And that's where that diligence and fervency in spirit comes in, because you see this in your father's perspective and from his values. And whatever job you do, it has value. This is something that is absolutely radical. I don't care if you're sweeping a floor in a warehouse. Whatever job you, because it is business, because it is a job, whatever job you do has benefit for you as a son. It has value. And you now know where it is. You know where that value lies. You know where that benefit lies. As a son, to labor in this with your father, serving the Lord with his thinking, with your father's conduct and behavior. And therefore, it makes it so that when you labor in your job, you then are, in all reality, serving the Lord as you do it. And all three of those aspects have got to go together. All three aspects of the godliness in verse 11, they're all designed to function perfectly together. Not being slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's cut down to so few words that it almost naturally sounds like it all goes together. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And in other words, when the godly thinking that produces the godly conduct and behavior produces the full-blown satisfaction, that's what it is. It's satisfying. It may not be so satisfying when you've got a job that you don't like, but your satisfaction doesn't come from whether or not you like the job you're doing. Your satisfaction comes from serving the Lord in that, and that's the satisfying aspect that any job you do can have when you're doing it as a son. And that thinking and that conduct all produces the full-blown satisfaction, because the satisfaction is the fact that you are in that serving the Lord. And folks, that's one of the great benefits that comes out of this. A benefit that some people will never know until they get this straight. And then it becomes your job, as you're doing it, becomes the bottom line of your satisfaction meter, so to speak. Regardless of the fact that it may be a menial task in the eyes of other people, regardless whether the pay scale is up to your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of competition, a lot of goofiness that goes on in that kind of realm. Or even if your pay scale and your job is far superior to your neighbors or your friends, the genuine godly type satisfaction only comes from your godly diligence, having produced the godly conduct and behavior that made it so that you serve the Lord as His own Son would have. Capital S Son, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. If you want to have some fun sometime, go back and you'll probably be able to read the gospel accounts of Christ's earthly ministry and be able to see all of this in action, because you will. The genuine godly satisfaction only comes, we're talking about godly satisfaction, from your godly diligence that's produced by the godly conduct and behavior that makes it so that you do serve the Lord. And that means that you could be flipping burgers at McDonald's. You could be behind the counter, or you could be a corporate executive. Or you could own the business, be the owner of the business, and be absolutely happy, absolutely content for those godly reasons. And one of the things you're going to start to get a taste of here for the very first time as a son or daughter, it's interesting that it comes in this package or comes in this way, is one of the greatest things that a son experiences, and that's godly satisfaction and godly contentment. And there's no money or gold or prestige or power or anything else that a son would trade for godly satisfaction and godly contentment. Well, one other thing to bear in mind here, and I wanted to try to get all this done in this session and have next session just to clear the decks. I think what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and take a break here, since we're pressed on time. Probably a good place, but there's one other thing that I want to bring out about this that is unavoidable and inevitable when you begin functioning this way in your job as a son. And I'll bring that up after a little break. So I think we'll go ahead and take our break right there, and we'll come back.